Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time. Welcome to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, and in the next hour, we'll focus on mindfulness, bringing our awareness to the present moment without judgment. Developing and deepening our capacity for mindfulness throughout our daily life is essential for reducing fearful and negative thinking, for letting go of the stories we tell ourselves that keep us stuck in place, and for transforming our relationship to ourself, to others, to the world. Join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now, and I really appreciate you joining me today. So the show's purpose, as I say in the intro, is to talk about mindfulness, and a little bit more than that, I hope that this for you is a space where you can bring your attention and awareness to the present moment and give yourself time to relax into the moment. Allow yourself to find places in your experience that resonate with the topics I discuss, because the goal is to really deepen our understanding of ourselves, right? To become students of our mind, students of our heart, students of our body, to know and recognize where our mind goes in stressful situations, how our heart perhaps constricts in a difficult moment, and how we feel in our body, which is that early warning system. When we can really start to notice our bodily responses, we can bring mindful attention to what's happening for us in that moment. So my topics are intended to support people on their mindfulness journey, and mindfulness, bringing attention and awareness to the present moment without judgment, is one of those things that sounds so simple, but it can be incredibly difficult to achieve. But its value is that it can bring us greater internal peace. And if we have greater internal peace, then we can be a force for peace in the world. And that is a goal I think all of us can aspire to happily. So most of us could use more peace in our lives. And perhaps, like me, you're aware of the myriad and sometimes trivial ways in which our thoughts disrupt our peace. My partner and I have only lived here in the Pacific Northwest for about 18 months. And when we moved here, because we'd lived in several parts of the country already, it did occur to me that we were going to learn some things about the challenges of living in a new climate. And we found one on Monday, or should I say we found the evidence of one, carpenter ants. We didn't know it was carpenter ant residue, but seemingly out of nowhere, there was a lot of like crumb-like substance underneath a window here in my workspace, and it hadn't been there just 2 days before when I had actually vacuumed this space. So this was Monday. My partner found a company that could help us manage the problem, and those kind folks showed up yesterday morning. My partner was at work at her office, and so I met with these folks, and then I left the house for an hour while they did their thing. Now, pre-COVID, I might have gone to a favorite cafe and hung out drinking coffee and reading, but that's not yet a viable option here in Washington. So I did a couple of errands, and then I drove to a donut shop that I hadn't been to before. I've seen it many times, and it's considered quite popular. It is quite popular and is considered one of the great donut places. And in the Pacific Northwest, we care about our donuts. So I decided to go, and I parked my car, and I sent my partner a text, and I said, good news, we have carpenter ants, not termites. And that is good news. I also wrote, I'm off to feed my anxiety with a donut. I wasn't really delighted with my choice about getting the donut, but neither was I particularly critical of it. I just remember thinking, yeah, I'm going to do this. And it's coming at a particular moment in my own experience where I'm a little bit more conscious of my health, and I've recently accepted, because I think this is the absolute truth, and it's sad but true, I think I'm addicted to sugar, and I think that because I notice a kind of relief I feel in my body when I eat it. So I'm trying to bring more awareness to what I eat without the critical judgment that often accompanies that. And I'm also trying to be more conscious of the fact that I am making choices. I am making choices. It really is true. And so yesterday, I did not lack any awareness of what I was doing. I ate that delicious. It actually was a dosant, which is a donut crossed with a croissant. And I was perfectly aware that I wanted it because I was feeling anxious. And I was equally aware that my anxiety really wasn't that closely tied to what was happening in the present moment. It really wasn't that much about the house that I live in now with my partner and the carpenter ants. The truth is, I feel anxious, and I used to feel anxious and paralyzed. So there's actually been quite a bit of progress when there were unexpected problems with any house that my partner and I had ever shared. Because house problems propel me back to my childhood. And as a homeowner in particular now, watching my mother struggle with living in a pretty crappy rental house that was always experiencing problems she had neither the skills nor the money to resolve, problems that she was afraid to tell the homeowner about, and that left her feeling demoralized and defeated. Witnessing that for more than 12 years, I internalized a panicky, anxious response to house problems and, by the way, car problems. I also internalized the belief that food soothes anxiety. So in mindfulness practice, we emphasize the present, staying present and aware so that what is true in this moment and staying aware to what is true in this moment. And it's a powerful mindset. It's one that has allowed me to be far less anxious and fearful in my daily life. But that mindset exists within the reality that the past is always with us. Right? No matter how focused we are on the present, we all have a past and that it surrounds us. You know, our friends are not people we met this morning. Our relatives are people we've known our whole lives in most cases. We can go through, we're moving and come across a box of stuff and photographs and pictures of people we haven't seen in years, trinkets, etc. We hear a song on the radio, and we're back in high school. We smell something, maybe, a donut, and suddenly we're propelled back to our mother's kitchen. So we can sometimes take an intentional journey to the past, but sometimes it happens unexpectedly, even unwillingly. We are taken, it feels like, into a journey, into the past. And happy memories, of course, sustain us in particularly difficult times. I think we rely on them and are grateful for them, those happy memories. But there are difficult memories as well, and they can overwhelm us. So I can't avoid the past. Therefore, I want to understand how I can stay present when I visit it or when it visits me. I want to have a greater understanding of what that means to stay present even when I'm visiting or visited by the past, and how that has an impact on and what that means in my body, in my heart, and in my mind. So today, as we talk about this question of how I can stay present despite the past surrounding me, I'm hoping that you might think about some places in your own life, in your immediate embodied experience, where perhaps something like dread or a feeling of powerlessness, a kind of heaviness, a sense of being weighed down, and comes over you, and that those feelings have a strong association with previous times in your life. I think that most of us have that kind of experience, and I'd like you to maybe bring one to mind at this place so that you can allow that awareness of those situations and those feelings to remain present as we engage this topic. And you can ask yourself, how might some of the things Mariangela is talking about allow me to stay present even when I either consciously choose to go into the past or when the past comes to visit me? So before we go further with that topic, though, I think, of course, it's always important to breathe. We use breathing practices because it helps us to be calm. It actually helps us to bring our awareness to the present moment, and it can allow us to focus our attention. So this particular breathing practice is, some people call it the breath of life, and here's how it works. So we bring our hands to our heart center on the inhalation. We push our palms forward and interlaced fingers on an exhalation. We bring our hands over our head on an inhalation, and then we exhale and bring our hands down. And we're gonna do this three times. And one thing you might think about in any breathing exercise is trying to make the exhalation just a little bit longer than the inhalation. And really try to just think about all of the physical sensations that go along with the breathing. So that's part of the kind of staying present in the moment. So here we go. So inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Last time. Thanks for joining me with that. This and other breathing exercises, this one's a little bit hard to do in bed, but breathing exercises in general are a good thing to do before we try to go to sleep. They can be helpful if we wake up and struggle to get back to sleep. And it's also worth, you know, that took about a minute maybe to do that. If you're not uncomfortable doing this in public or you're in a private situation where you can do a breathing exercise before you go into a new situation, particularly a stressful situation, I think that you will find it incredibly helpful. It doesn't take a lot of time, and it's one of those ways that we can give ourselves permission to take care of ourselves. So today we're talking about the past, and we are digging into the past to ask ourselves a really important question. So, because we want to stay focused on the present, but we all have a past that surrounds us. So since I can't avoid the past, I want to understand how I can go there, but stay here. So we're going to go a little bit early to our break today, if that's okay with Jacob. And we're going to do that so that when we come back, we can kind of start anew on this topic of how can I go there to the past, but stay here in the present at the same time. So Jacob, is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Sorry. It's okay. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Mindfulness. Staying present to the moment without judgment. It sounds simple, but we know on a bad day it's tough to achieve. So here's a 2-minute drill you can use to enhance your capacity for mindfulness. Find an activity you do every day, like washing the dishes or brushing your teeth, and while you're doing it, focus on nothing else. Not your to-do list, not worries about the past, not rehearsing conversations, just the physical sensation of engaging in that activity. As we enhance our capacity for mindfulness in these ordinary activities, we're better able when the going gets rough to bring that capacity to bear, to be calm and authentic in those moments. If you'd like to learn more about how to enhance mindfulness in your life, contact me at mcguirelifecoach.com and listen to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, Thursdays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Your inspiration all day on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding Into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
Learn how to RISE in business by being confident on video. Confidence coach Susan Axelrod and online business producer Pam Sullivan have teamed up bringing you a new podcast, Webcam Confidence for Women. Tune in live every first and third Friday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and stay for an open virtual presenter studio session. Offering attendees confidence on webcam, a must-have skill for every woman in business. For more information, visit volutionvirtual.com/studio.
Tune in to
the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and we're talking about mindfulness and mindfulness practices, which really encourage us to stay in the present. Such good advice, but hey, the past is all around us. So my central question today is, how can I go there to the past when I need to, or when it comes up and visits me, and stay present to the moment? So here's my example this week of the past coming to, did it come to find me or did I go to find it? I think that's a tricky question too. You get to decide on this one. So some of my listeners know that I only joined Facebook a year ago, and I did it because the show, this podcast, is played on Facebook Live through Transformation Talk Radio. But if I had an account, I can also kind of push it out there to my friends on Facebook. So it seemed kind of foolish not to be on Facebook while I was doing the podcast that was on Facebook Live. So I joined, and I, of course, had my reasons for not joining. There's the politics of Facebook. Is it good or bad for civic engagement? Yes. There was the idea that its time has passed, right? Isn't Facebook so yesterday? But hey, I'm in that demographic that still uses Facebook, so I thought that was okay. And then there was my original reason, which was I'm not a person who particularly goes out of her way to embrace the past, and especially the way that it's manifest, I would say, on Facebook. But I really wanted to share the podcast with my friends that I thought I would probably connect with on Facebook, and so I took the plunge, and I've actually enjoyed Facebook quite a bit. My favorite times are when people from very different parts of my life post the same image or the same video or the same political statement, and I have to stop actually and remind myself that they don't actually know each other. That convergence really delights me, and those opinions, and of course it also reminds me, then gives me some pause and some concern, because it's just demonstrates that, like most people, I exist in an ideological bubble. So many of the people I know, even when they don't know each other, it turns out, hold exactly the same views. And I think social science research would tell us not to be surprised by that. So almost everyone I'm connected to on Facebook is someone I met as an adult, and that's intentional. I haven't made an effort to reconnect with people I knew as a kid, but it's, as Disney tells us, a small world, and I learned that once again over the weekend when I took a headlong plunge down a rabbit hole on Facebook. It started when a woman who was one of my students almost 30 years ago sent me a friend request. I wasn't surprised that my name had popped up on her feed, even though actually hers has never popped up on mine, because I'm connected to a lot of people she would have known when she was in college, which was when I knew her. I'll call her Tara. So I had kept in minimal touch with Tara after she graduated, because by pure coincidence, she moved to my hometown. And I ran into her there when I was visiting, but we've long since lost touch. So after accepting her friend request, I went to her Facebook page to see what she's up to. And she has, absolutely not surprisingly, beautiful children and a husband who looks like a real nice guy. And she looks very, very happy. And it appeared, though, that she'd left the job that she'd moved to my hometown to take, which was actually part of how I'd run into her. It was a job she'd held for a really long time, so I was curious about that, and I started to scroll through her post to see if there was any mention of what had happened or why or what she was doing now. And there really wasn't, but there was a post from a familiar name. Now, it wasn't an unusual name, something like Tom Adams. It was not Tom Adams, but it was something like that. And I knew someone. When I was in high school, in grade school, actually, I'd known someone with that name. I really didn't think it could be the same person, right? But I clicked on his little icon, and it was him. In some ways, I wasn't shocked, you know, small world and all, but it did give me pause that someone I'd known when she was my student in Minnesota was friends on Facebook with someone I'd known when he was a teacher at my high school in Ohio. That did give me pause. Now, I should probably point out that both my former student and my former teacher have nearly 5,000 friends on Facebook and live in the same city. And it turns out that they, which is something I hadn't known, but they had some overlapping professional interests. So fine. It was, in fact, not that rare of a thing after all that these two people would know each other. But I want to remind you that I am connected to exactly two people I knew in high school. So wouldn't that suggest a genuine lack of curiosity on my part about anyone else I knew in high school? Wouldn't that make it extremely unlikely that I would wonder who else my former teacher was connected to? And yet, I opened his friends list, which is public, although I've learned from a friend that this isn't a common thing to do. I thought it seemed really obvious to, I don't know, satisfy your curiosity, you go look at somebody's friends list. And then I spent a ridiculous amount of time looking at the page of pictures of people I haven't known since I was 18, because it turns out this guy, Tom Adams, is in fact friends with, among those 5,000 people, at least 75, I would guess, that I knew in high school. And here I was tunneling into the past by choice. I was both doing the tunneling and I was witnessing myself doing it. I knew that I was in a precarious situation emotionally, because I know, think of the carpenter ants and the donuts, that the past can open up like a sinkhole for me. And sometimes all I find there is sadness and a feeling of helplessness. So Michael Singer says, we stay open by not closing. And that idea was my guide as I tunneled through the Facebook rabbit hole. What did stay opening in that moment mean? Staying open in that moment mean? First, it really meant, and what I noticed I was doing, was staying curious about the present in a couple of ways. I was curious to know more about the people, about some other people that I remember as I saw a familiar name. And I was also curious to know how I would react or how I was reacting as I read those familiar names. Where would my mind go? How would I feel in my body? Those classic questions of mindfulness. And it turns out, as some of the things I observed about my experience, I experienced genuine pleasure at seeing the grown-up faces of people I first knew as young children. There were probably 25 people in my high school graduating class that I had known since first grade. And I always say about this area where I grew up, and I felt like an outsider because I hadn't gone to kindergarten with them. It was kind of a small community. And there was one person I saw in particular the weekend on Facebook, and I went to her page and she had a very little information except to say that she was mostly on Instagram, which I did not go down that rabbit hole. But she did have this beautiful photograph of herself and the same look of joy and openness that I remember on her 6-year-old freckled face was absolutely present in that photograph. And it was really exciting. I mean, it was just a pure joy to see that. So both the memory and the present happily coexisted in that moment. With other people, I didn't go to their pages because their names didn't spark. Well, as Marie Kondo would put it, they did not spark joy. They didn't spark curiosity. And I paid attention to that too, because I noticed the heaviness, some sadness, old feelings of being an outsider, of not fitting in, of being that weird girl in the class, really are attached to those names. And I didn't even bother to look at the pictures. Can you imagine how I would have felt then? But at least I was really aware of being aware of it. I was right there with myself, present to what I was feeling in my body and where my mind was going. So I learned that I can go there and stay here. And I would say as something I hope you might think about in your own experience of trying to, knowing that at times we're going to go there into the past, but wanting to stay here. One thing we can bring to that is our sense of curiosity and an awareness of purpose, right? Now, I didn't have a particularly noble purpose, but I was aware of having of my curiosity about what had happened to some of these folks. And a sense of purpose was really, what's it going to be like to look at those pictures again? So I can, in this case, I think my sense of purpose was I can learn about myself. I can learn about places where I've changed and where there are still rough spots. right? By observing my reactions to the past. I also notice that I can ask a question. Is there something I need to know in the present that going to back to the past would provide? And I think one of the things it provided for me is that kind of a reinforcement of something maybe I already knew, but reminded me that, yeah, the past, that particular part of the past of childhood, is still a place where there are some very heavy feelings associated with it. I haven't let go of all of those feelings. And they are certainly made manifest by particular names and people. And I'll be honest, the people I didn't know particularly well, but just that who represented for me the feeling I often had as a kid, which was being kind of a weirdo and an outsider. So I also think there's, and people do this a lot now, I think this is a great question that we sometimes ask in something like coaching or therapy, is what would you tell that kid, right? What would I tell that, whether the 6-year-old or 12-year-old or 18-year-old, if I could go back and speak to her now? And of course it is that classic message of it gets better, right? That the freedom you so desperately want is just around the corner. That's what I would tell that child. So I want you to be thinking about these places where you can ask yourself, where do we more or less willingly go back to the past? Right? When does the past come to visit us? Maybe you think about this in the context of family visits, right? You know, people often talk about, as soon as I'm back in my parents' house, all of the old kind of tapes about who I am and who I should be, all the sense of the way everyone treats me as though I was still that 12-year-old child. You know, how can we bring our mindfulness practice into that moment so that we feel less at the mercy of all those tapes, all those behaviors that we think of as kind of putting us in that box, in this case of childhood? It's also a place, I think, where, or an experience that we have with something like social media. People have it with high school reunions, but now Facebook is a kind of continuous high school reunion where you can see those people from the past. So whether we're visiting it willingly or it comes to bear on us, but particularly those places where we might think about ourselves as having to go to the past and having to go then to some of those feelings that are so difficult sometimes to manage, how can we do that with a sense of curiosity, a sense of maybe I have a purpose here that is different from sort of fulfilling other people's expectations of showing up for Thanksgiving or something like that? How can I be curious about myself in this context? How can I learn about myself in this context? And what can I tell that younger self about what is true in the present day? So articulating for ourselves a purpose beyond social obligations, learning about ourselves, what the past means to us, noticing its impact on us and where our mind and body go. And that is really critical, because that information, where, when I visit the past, where does my mind go? How do I feel in my body? Does my heart constrict? That's extremely valuable, because in addition to choosing to visit the past rises up and bites us, doesn't it? The song, the smell, the unexpected visitor, the situations in our current life that bring the emotional state of past experiences right back to the present, into our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. And that's what we're going to talk about after this next break. When the past visits us rather than us visiting the past, how can we use our knowledge of where our mind, our heart, our body goes in order to stay present in this moment, okay? So you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back after the break. On a tough day, our first impulse is to check out. But here's a better idea. Check in. Check in with yourself in two specific ways. First, check in with your body. Are your hands balled into fists? Is your jaw clenched? Notice any place you feel tension in your body and consciously relax. Then check in with your mind. Are you fully present to the people and activities in your immediate environment? Or is your mind a million miles away, worrying about the future, brooding about the past? If that's the case, gently bring your awareness back to the present moment. When we check in with ourselves, we can create more peace in ourselves and in our world.
If you'd like to learn more about incorporating mindfulness practices into your daily life, contact me, Mary Angela McGuire at McGuireLifeCoach.com, and check out my show, Nothing But Now, Thursdays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are you trying to lose weight but feel guilty for eating your favorite foods? Feeling deprived and resentful makes for results that aren't sustainable. Join Adrienne Craig every second and fourth Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for her show, Master Your Mindset for a Weight Loss Breakthrough. Learn to love the journey and watch yourself succeed. For more information about Adrienne or to work with her personally, visit LifeCanyon.com.
Hey everybody, this is Psychic Medium Jamie, and boy do I have a gift for you to help you get through March Madness. You've all said you're tired of jumping through hoops. So for the month of March, my gift to all of you is my full hour sessions are now half off. Psychic readings, oracle card readings, connect with your loved ones, and gain spiritual guidance from your spirit team. So get ready to step in and move from March Madness to March Manifestation together. Book at shadesofspirit.com or call me at 858-684-7575.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Nothing But Now. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and today we're talking about the past, which is perhaps antithetical to notions of mindfulness, because mindfulness is so much about staying in the present and kind of bringing a non-judging awareness quality to the present moment. And that is an important mindset, but of course, interacting with the past in a number of different forms is an absolutely inevitable part of daily life. So my question today is, how can I go there to the past, but stay here in the present? And initially, I really wanted to focus on the choice sometimes, as I made a choice over the weekend to kind of tunnel into the past by going down a rabbit hole on Facebook and looking at pictures and pages of people I haven't seen since I was in high school. And that was, one of the ways that I stayed present in that experience was to stay curious about my own reaction to it, to notice my genuine curiosity about how these folks had turned out in terms of growing up and in terms of what they would put on Facebook. And so I also was able to really observe my own reactions to people, faces I saw, and remind myself of those, the positives of that, the happy memories, the places where I could feel joyful for the lives that my former high school friends seemed to be leading, but also the places where there was still the kind of heaviness and sadness that I associate with my growing up years. Places where I think I still am holding on to a certain amount of that unhappiness. And I think my donut carpenter aunt story is, of course, the prime example of that. So we want to, in some ways, one of the upsides of kind of visiting the past voluntarily is that it might give us a better sense that it's not kind of happening to us, and that can feel less anxiety producing to feel like we're making a choice. And in making that choice, if I can bring my awareness, a non-judging awareness to it, I can learn about myself. I can notice where my heart, where my mind, where my body goes in the presence of the past, if you will. And that in turn then can be extremely helpful for those occasions where the past is going to come to me. In some ways, this Facebook experience even started out that way, because someone from the past reached out to me with a friend request that I accepted, and then made my own choices after that, it was a choice to accept her friendship, but the choices that followed were more significant in terms of learning about myself and my experience and feelings about the past. So, but knowing that, having that awareness and that knowledge then allows us to be in that witness seat that I like to talk about, to be in the place of being able to observe what is happening when the past perhaps unexpectedly comes into our life. And it can happen in some ways that you might think of as predictable. So literally going to the past, like going to your parents' home for a holiday, or being in a situation with people you've known for a really long time, or those kind of sense memories of hearing a song or smelling something cooking and suddenly being transported back to the past. But it can also happen in that way of kind of us connecting one thing to another. And thinking about, and this is what I'm encouraging you to be thinking about today, is those places where you can notice, as you become a student of your own mind, body, and heart, where is it that you're having a reaction, a bodily, a mind-oriented reaction to a current situation, but with that kind of embodied experience from the past. So when my partner and I discovered carpenter ants, I really noticed the anxiety that I experienced as a kid when something would go wrong at home and I would watch my mother struggle to deal with it. And I was quite aware that tension, and I always put my hands up here because this is where the tension starts here, but the tummy's a little stressed. And my mind, I can just feel it kind of, my brain almost feels like it's crunching a little bit because I'm working on this problem of trying to relax and breathe and stay in the present moment, even though part of me is really aware of all of that hard feelings, I would say, all those rough spots from the past. So in this particular case, although I did reward myself with a donut, and I'm not ashamed to say it, there were other things that I did. And I think this is what's really can be important when we find that the past comes to us unexpectedly. To the extent that we can become witnesses to that experience, we can ask ourselves some questions. We can remind ourselves of some things. So what did I remind myself of? Well, I reminded myself that there are people who can get rid of carpenter ants. I reminded myself that we can afford to pay people to get rid of the carpenter ants. I reminded myself that having carpenter ants, especially in the Pacific Northwest, apparently, is in no way a unique problem. In other words, carpenter ants are not evidence that there's something deeply wrong with me or my family. And that is exactly how I felt as a kid. There was something very, very wrong with us. And that's why so many difficult things happened in our lives. I reminded myself that this isn't then. This is now. And right now, in that moment, I'm okay. Right? I reminded myself of what was true right now, is true right now. I'm safe. In other words, I'm not a powerless child, and I'm not living in that sad house. And that's what really mattered in that moment, to be able to remind myself of all of those things. So being able to recognize the heart, the body, the mind, the feelings that I associate with the past, that prepares me then to notice them more easily and more quickly, and to interrogate them with kindness and with non-judging awareness when they arise in the present. And that's what I want to focus on now. I've talked before about Tara Brach's work, and she adapted the work of another person whose name I can't recall right off the top of my head, that with an acronym that she uses, which is RAIN. And I want to emphasize particular parts of that today that I think are, for many of us, the most difficult to kind of operationalize. So this kind of what recognizing what's going on with us internally when we're in a stressful situation, Brach encourages us to do four things in that moment. So the first one is recognize, like notice that something's happening. And that's why our noticing our bodies is so important of that, because it is such an early warning system that I feel the tension in my body typically before my mind and my thoughts start to go to a difficult place. So to the extent that I can feel the tension rising, I can start to pay attention to what's happening and kind of intervene or pause, taking what Brach would call the sacred pause in that moment to really be with those feelings. So I recognize what's happening in my mind, my body, my heart. I acknowledge what's happening, right? I can name it. Wow, I'm feeling anxious. I'm tense. I don't like this. I feel it's kind of, what's this heaviness, this weight on my chest coming from, right? What's going on here? But maybe it's questions, but it's really also just witnessing. I see what's happening here. The fourth I is interrogate, or be interested in. And the question I like to ask myself, and this is the one that was encouraged in kind of the Martha Beck life coach training, was where do I recognize this feeling from? And that's always been an important one for me, because my childhood experiences, like most many people's, a lot of imprinting there, right? A lot of my adult emotional responses I recognize as having their source there. So when I can recognize where it comes from, that also gives me a little bit of distance from it, right? Because it helps me to remind me that it's not necessarily the circumstances now. It is that kind of bodily memory of reacting to difficult circumstances. And it helps me recognize how the present is different from the past. And then the end is either non-attachment, right? Not getting attached to those feelings so that they kind of carry me away. Or also Brock now talks about it more in terms of nurturing. And that is to bring a kind of compassion to ourselves. Yeah, hey, this is what happens to me. This is what happens. I feel these feelings. My mind goes to these places when I'm in this kind of circumstance. When something goes wrong with the car, I clench, right? I worry. I start to go down that road of, oh my God, 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 right? what's going to happen? And when I recognize that, I can bring myself back to the present. I can deal with this. I can trust myself. I know what's happening here. This is not an emergency. This is not an emergency. This is not a crisis. And that's very helpful. So RAIN, recognize or acknowledge, or she also uses the word allow, which I think is very important too. And this is her more current formulation of RAIN, is allow those feelings to be there. Don't try to push them away. And then interrogate, kind of notice where they're coming from, and then either don't get attached to them so that they carry you away, and nurture them. Give them some compassion. It's not surprising that I have some of that kind of panicky reaction. That doesn't mean I always have to react that way, though, or that I have to act on those feelings. And the part I want to really emphasize in terms of our mindfulness practice is something I often talk to clients about. I do this in my own life, and I'm always trying to convince people to do this in theirs. I just mention it. I just suggest, hey, this, you know, you might think about it this way. And I don't think they do, because I think it makes them too self-conscious, or at least that's what my clients tend to report, is that they feel very self-conscious in operationalizing this advice. And that is to really address those feelings, right? The Buddhists say, you know, we are not our minds, or we are not our thoughts, right? We're not our thoughts. So I can look at my thoughts and I can speak to my thoughts. Tara Brach says, you know, and because those thoughts are the source of suffering, that we can say, she says, you know, invite suffering, or Mara, the Sanskrit word for it, invite Mara to tea. And so we're going to take a break, but when we come back, I really want to talk about what does it mean and what is the value in actually speaking aloud or in your own private thoughts to these feelings and to these thoughts. How does that make a difference? And I'm going to, you know, encourage you to try it out, okay? So you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back after the break. Mindfulness, staying present to the moment without judgment. It sounds simple, but we know on a bad day it's tough to achieve. So here's a 2-minute drill you can use to enhance your capacity for mindfulness. Find an activity you do every day, like washing the dishes or brushing your teeth, and while you're doing it, focus on nothing else. Not your to-do list, not worries about the past, not rehearsing conversations, just the physical sensation of engaging in that activity. As we enhance our capacity for mindfulness in these ordinary activities, we're better able, when the going gets rough, to bring that capacity to bear, to be calm and authentic in those moments. If you'd like to learn more about how to enhance mindfulness in your life, contact me at mcguirelifecoach.com and listen to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, Thursdays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Shades of Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendars. Shades of Spirit goes live in a new time slot every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. What? Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and spirit walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com.
It's your turn to reclaim your life. Experience the unmitigated joy of breathing life into your own passions, into your own purpose, with me, Life Coach Ricky Schwartz, at MyTurnLifeCoaching.com. In the meantime, tune into my show, My Turn Life Coaching, live every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Let's face it, you don't love your wrinkles. You probably work out, but you have been skipping face day. Join Colette Marie Steffen for daily face yoga. You'll learn to activate and train facial muscles and reverse the visible effects of aging. Forget about expensive procedures and products that don't work. Live virtual classes every day at 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. Pacific. Sign up for face yoga with Colette. Visit thetruthisfunny.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. So we are talking today about the past. And of course, with mindfulness, we're always often really focusing on the present and the mindset of being present to the moment, having a non-judging awareness about the moment, to allowing life to unfold before us, allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, to not always kind of put on an armor and steel ourselves against what's going to come in the door to us each day. And mindfulness and being present to the moment is an incredibly important way, I think, to proceed in the world. And at the same time, we know that the past is all around us. The past is all around us because our friends and family are not the new people we've just met in the last 24 hours. We have our, you know, you look around your house, how many things can you point to and say, oh, somebody in my family gave me this, or this used to be in somebody else's house, right? We have so many associations, physical objects and people, but also songs and sense memories like the particular food smells, right, that can take us back very quickly into the past. So what I've been talking about today is that we can, sometimes we do choose, may not always seem very willing, but we can choose to kind of visit the past in a sense, as I did over the weekend when I went down the rabbit hole and looked at tons of pages and pictures of people I knew when I was in high school and haven't seen since I was 18 years old. But also the past can come and visit us. It can pop up in that song on the radio. And in both cases, we can, in order to kind of address this issue of how do I stay here and go there at the same time? How can I visit the past, or how do I manage the past coming to visit me and stay present while that's happening? And what I suggested is one important thing to do is to bring a sense of purpose to that moment. And it might be the kind of purpose about, I had curiosity about what some of the folks I knew in high school were up to. And that non-judging awareness was really an important part of that. Curiosity about just wondering, just looking, just being delighted at some of the things that I saw was very positive. And it was a good kind of released a little bit of, I think, my anxiety about this, in fact. So that was good. But also bringing the curiosity about myself. How, when I visit the past, where does my mind go? Like, what thoughts come up over and over again? Is it kind of habit or pattern? Well, how do I feel in my body, either when the past comes to visit me or when I go to visit the past? And you might notice this in particular in family situations or meeting up with people you've known for a long time. Even a job you've had for a long time, that can feel in a way like visiting the past every day, 9 to 5, right? Visiting the past in the sense of old associations and feelings and patterns and habits and relationships. So to become a student of our own mind in this process, to bring that kind of curiosity to these visits, then we can start to notice where experience is experiences from the past and habits of association and where our mind goes can also pop up then in other places in our life. And I use the example of my own family growing up in kind of a crappy house and the association I have with house problems being always a source of anxiety and tension. And being able then to bring that knowledge to bear so that when that happens in the present, I can look at that and I can address that. And I don't have to be either carried away by it or try to shove those feelings down. And the process that Tara Brach talks about, RAIN, is really a helpful way to get a hold of this. And that is, so RAIN, recognizing what's happening, A, allowing it or acknowledging what's happening, not pushing it away, interrogating a little bit, investigating, understanding where these associations come from, and then finally, not attaching ourselves to those feelings, not being carried away by those feelings, but also nurturing ourselves in that moment, being kind to ourselves. And one of the things I said before the break is that I can say all that stuff and you can read Brock's book, but what she'll tell you, and I really want to emphasize, is the power of actually of self-talk in this moment and what it means to turn from sort of, in a way, passively noticing what's happening to addressing, to being really an agent of your own destiny in this sense of addressing what's happening in your mind. Right. So when those feelings arise, to be willing to say, to allow yourself the kind of discomfort or self-consciousness to say, I see you. I see this feeling. I recognize you. I notice you. I'm aware of where you come from. I've seen you before. Right. And it is in that kind of turn that I think the most powerful change happens, because it is that way in which we start to really put into practice the idea that we are not our thoughts, right? We put into practice the idea that Mara or suffering is something that arises in us, but that we can address, we can be the witness to it, that the suffering is not our authentic self, but it is what arises based on our experience and our culture, et cetera, and those messages about right and should and ought. And when we address it, then we put distance between ourself and that suffering. And it's that distance that makes all the difference. That is the critical key. So one of the things that Brock talks about in her work is that she I really love this about her, but she really kind of addresses herself very directly when she's in a stressful situation. She speaks to herself with kindness and she says it out, I'm guessing out loud, but maybe just in her own mind. She says to herself, it's okay. You're all right. I love you. You're a good person. Everything's okay. And I have taken up this practice, and I'll be honest, I probably say to myself probably 50 times a day, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And it helps. It makes a difference. And, you know, it's really for in this particular conversation about the past, it is that reminder that I'm not in the past. Right, that I have much more freedom in my life, much more autonomy, much more better resources, a lot more sunshine, I'll be honest with you, in a particular kind of way, both emotionally and some days literally. But it is that way of really manifesting compassion towards ourselves that makes a difference. And when I talk to clients about this, I just tell them, you know, really, I really encourage you to talk to yourself about this. And they really say, oh, you know, I can hear the squishy sound of their shoulders rising up to their ears and their discomfort about, oh, that just feels so icky. But it really makes a difference. So I really want to say, just try it. And, you know, of course, at the heart of, I think, their discomfort and the heart of my discomfort for a long time was simply that unwillingness we often have to show ourselves compassion, right? I think for many of us, we believe as long as we're nice to other people, we don't necessarily have to be nice to ourselves. If we're too nice to ourselves, we're just going to end up, you know, sitting on the couch eating bonbons all day, binge watching TV, right? Or the computer, people who don't watch TV anymore. So that's that that fearfulness, I think, is really something that we want to confront and address, because because I always say Jack Kornfield says, you know, if compassion that doesn't include the self is incomplete, and we want complete compassion in our lives. And I also think, and he didn't say this maybe because he's a nicer person, but I sometimes think that compassion that doesn't include the self may not even actually be compassion, because I think that it can actually be a sense of feeling sorry for other people, of having a maybe condescending attitude, a kind of one-up mentality of, oh, poor you, but I'm okay, I'm in control, everything's fine, right? Fist clenched. So that's why I think compassion towards the self is so important, because I think it actually is the gateway to authentic compassion for others. So Michael Singer says, you know, you practice opening by not closing. And I think what's important about that phrase is the idea that opening is an action. It's a choice in each moment. And staying open is not a position of weakness or passivity. It doesn't make us vulnerable to the it does make us in some ways vulnerable to the unfolding of life. But we have to remember that controlling all possibilities is in fact not possible. And being vulnerable does not mean allowing people to mistreat us. When I'm vulnerable, I can also be in a place where I trust myself. I trust that I'll know what to do, that I will know how to act, that I will take care of myself, and that I will be kind to myself. And that's my hope for you, that you will trust yourself to take care of yourself. If you'd like to learn more about my work as a life coach, you can visit me at McGuireLifeCoach.com, or you can email me at MaryAngelaMcGuire@gmail.com. I think we have time for this. Let's do three quick deep breaths to close out our practice today. So inhale. One more time. Third time. So until next time, I hope that you will be curious about your mind, you'll pay attention to where your thoughts go, and above all, be kind to yourself. Thank you for listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.